Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. If you joined us during the worship, welcome. It's nice to have you with us. How many of you know that God is good?
Amen.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Praise God. I'm quite blessed. I see we've got a nice full house tonight. God is good. God is good. You know, I know I say this a lot, but the Bible says better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 days elsewhere. Who of you can testify to that? Amen. Yeah, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And to be in the house of the Lord is to be where God is. Amen.
Amen.
And where God is, anything can happen.
Amen.
And probably will. Look at your neighbor and say, fasten your seatbelt. There we go. There we go. Amen. Yeah, bless God. Bless God. You back. I can see that. Yeah, you made us work hard last week, didn't you? Yeah. How was your week? Yeah, because the chochos know that there's going to be a bit of a problem, eh? All right. But that's fine. God knows how to sort them out.
Amen.
Let's talk about something just very, very quickly. This week, somebody told me that there was people that attended this meeting, and the gentleman turned around and said that he will never take his family to that place again because everything we do is unbiblical, it's unchristian, it's unscriptural. We are teaching heresy, we are false, etc., etc. You know what? That just blesses me because I must be doing something right. You understand? You know, Jesus wasn't in ministry because of the popularity that it brings. It's not a popularity contest. You know, when you speak the truth, sometimes you step on some toes. When you do what Jesus called you to do, sometimes it brings a bit of persecution. I find it extremely difficult to understand how what we do is unbiblical and unscriptural if it is all written in the Word of God. You know what? It's got nothing to do with what some say. If He says it, it settles it, and that's just the way it is. Amen. Do you know what one of the things is? Say again. Yeah, you're right. The truth shall set you free. And you know what? There's a big difference between the truth and what your drunk buddy says while you're drinking in the pub. Let's just get one thing straight. You know, I've seen it. When people are drunk, they like to talk about religion. You know what? Don't talk to a drunk person about religious matters because you will never win that argument. It's just a fact. And you will hear the strangest theology coming out of their mouth. And there's nothing you can do about that. But let's just get one thing straight. One of the things that upset people when they come to this meeting is the fact that demons manifest and things happen. I want to ask the question, is it biblical? Well, you know, I don't know what Bible these people are reading. Because when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and to some extent John, and if you read in the book of Acts, demons manifested where the kingdom of God advanced. Demons manifested where the truth was spoken. Think about it. Demons put people in bondage. People are in bondage to sexual addiction. People are in bondage to smoking, to drinking. People are in bondage to fear. People are in bondage to anger, to bitterness. You know, the list is endless. Didn't Jesus come to set the captives free?
Yes.
All right. Now, if Jesus came to set the captives free, then He wants to deliver people from those things that keep them in bondage. Satan loves for us to be in slavery. He loves for us to be in that form of bondage. Jesus wants to set you free. One of the purposes of the truth is to set you free. Listen, young man, for goodness sakes. How ridiculous would it be if Jesus came to set the captive free, but nobody can be set free? Then we would have to ask the question, did Jesus even come? Because you know what? Nobody ever gets set free. Well, I want to say something to you, and for the people that might be looking at this video. If nobody gets set free in your church, maybe you should find a place where the power of God moves and people do get set free. Because God still sets the captive free. Amen. You know, Jesus still operates the way today He did way back when. He told the disciples to go out and do what He did and teach others to do it exactly the way He did it. Jesus didn't take nonsense from no demon. He sorted him out. He put him under his feet and He told him to go. You know, today when you cast out demons, you rock the boat, apparently. Because it is undignified, it is uncivilized. Well, the devil isn't very dignified and there's nothing civilized about him. But dealing with him brings liberty. Dealing with him brings freedom. Dealing with him gives people victory in their life. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to do it. It's what God wants. And what God wants is more important than what people want.
Amen.
We have to set the captives free. Tonight I want to speak to you about something that is very, very important. How many of you can read lips? Can you read lips? What was that? That was nothing really. That was me sticking my tongue out because that's what I'm going to speak to you about. All right? Tonight we are going to speak about two things. We're going to speak about the tongue and the way we treat people. I want to make you think. Raise your hands if you believe that you are a Christian. You believe that you are a child of God, right? Keep your hand up. Look around this place. All right? You see that? Okay. You can put your hand down. When we become a child of God, does that imply that certain changes have to come into our life? Okay, Jesus said, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does the word repentance mean? The word repentance means you have to change. Repentance simply means change. When we live in the world, I'll tell you what are the things that are acceptable in the world. It's acceptable to gossip. It's acceptable to slander. It's acceptable to backstab people. It's acceptable to lie. Hello? But it's not acceptable in the kingdom. It's not acceptable when you become a child of God. Now, here's the problem. We become children of God, but we bring the old habits that we got from the kingdom of darkness with us. You know, there's a lot of people that claim to be saved, but when you listen to their tongues, you have to ask the question whether they really are saved. Because some people, their tongues are definitely very far from being saved. Our tongue is often a tool that gets used by Satan. And yes, even Christian tongues get used by Satan. If you don't understand how the stuff works and if you are not willing to repent. And I want to show you today that one of the reasons why a lot of Christians' lives go nowhere is because they never got their tongue saved. I don't care how many times you tell me you are repented. Sometimes when I listen to you, it'll tell me whether you are repented or not. Not what you say, not what you do, but what you say. You know what? It's no good. You sit in church, you read your Bible, you tithe, or you know whatever religious stuff you want to claim to be doing. But when you walk down the street, there is nothing that differentiates you from the average sinner out there. Hello? What's wrong with this picture? We're supposed to be different. The scripture says, come out from amongst them, my people. God wants to see a clear difference between an unbeliever and a believer in the way we act, in the way we treat people, in the things that we do. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, he who guards his lips, guards his soul. What is the devil after? He's after your soul. Now, what is the first step to guarding your soul? Yes, I would say probably the first step is salvation. But if you don't guard your lips, in other words, if you don't watch what you say, if you don't watch what comes out of your mouth, don't you think for one minute that the devil is afraid of you? Because he's not. Because you can have a double garage door opening in your life for the devil to come and steal from you anytime he wants, to come and mess with you anytime he wants, simply because of what comes out of your mouth. And you know what? Then people turn around and they say, oh, but God is not fair because me, I become a Christian and all I have is problems, problems, problems. Yeah, you do. Because your tongue is not right. And you know what? We can't blame God for the fact that we don't deal with what comes out of our mouth and for the things we say and for the way that we say it. Listen, yeah, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can even say nice things in a way that cuts people down. Listen to this. He who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Do you hear what it says? It says that what we allow to come out of our mouths can actually completely ruin our life. You know, it's It's no good you quoting scriptures like God has a good plan for me. God is going to bless me. You know, all these things sound very nice, but they are conditional. And the condition is, listen to this, you got to guard your lips and you got to watch what you speak and how you speak to people. Because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Your life will come to ruin. Yes, Satan is the one that's going to ruin your life for you, but you are the one responsible. Because you are the one that doesn't watch what you say. Here's another scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 23. He who guards his tongue keeps himself from calamity. What must you do to keep yourself from calamity? Okay, let's first ask this question. What is calamity? Young man, what's your name again? Paul. Are you English or Afrikaans?
Both.
Do you know what the word calamity means?
Sure.
He's not sure. Who knows what the word calamity means? Calamity is problems. Everything goes wrong. You know what? It's like Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong, goes wrong all the time. That's calamity. You start something, it flops. There's always accidents. There's always problems. There's always destruction. Things just don't want to go forward for you. Now, is that the kind of life God wants you to live?
No.
But the Bible says you could very well be living that kind of life if you are not careful. And listen to me very carefully. This is written to the believer, not the unbeliever. Yes, the unbelievers to a certain extent will also fall under this, but the word of God speaks to you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's talking to you. Proverbs 21, verse 23. He who guards his tongue keeps himself from calamity. I want to make you think. I don't know you. Some of you I know in fleeting and in passing, but most of you I don't have any idea who you are. Some of you are here tonight for the first time. This is something that you got to do for yourself. I want you to take a look at your life. If your life manifests a lot of calamity, in other words, things never seem to work out for you. There's always problems. You get this close and then the carpet gets pulled out from under you. There's just division and destruction and things just don't work for you very well. Then your life is manifesting what the Bible calls calamity. Where should we go and look if we find a lot of calamity in our life? Okay, yes, to a certain extent in the Bible, but the Bible tells us, watch your tongue. In other words, here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't like what you see in your life, one of the first places the Bible says you should look is your tongue. Louis, stick out your tongue. That thing there is probably causing problems for you. You should watch what comes from your mouth and how it comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 18, verse 21. You all know this scripture. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Oh, okay. Let's talk about this. Here's something that God has ordained that nothing you do, no matter how much you complain, no matter how many tantrums you throw about it, it'll never change. God says there will always come a time when you will have to eat your own words. Now I want to talk to you. The type of words that you speak, the way that you speak to people is going to come back to you. Now, some of you can sit with a smile on your face right now because you're going to be eating chocolate, cake. Okay, let's not just keep it with the sweets. Some lekker, biltong. Oh, yes, plenty biltong. Curry and rice. Some of you are going to have a nice meal. But some of you are going to be eating cactus, thorns, thistles, some really, really bad stuff. The stuff the dog does before he scratches his paws, you know, fertilizer. How can you say that, Rion? Because what comes out of your mouth in the spirit world is either going to be positive and uplifting and bless, or it's going to be destructive, and when it comes back to you, it's going to poison you. What you speak about others is always going to come back to you. I want you to listen. Nothing that goes out of your mouth will fail to come back to you, because the Bible says we will eat our words. Now, I want to say something to you. You are more than welcome to go out there and say, you know, Rion is a this and a that and a what. You know what? I'm going to sleep well, and I don't have to worry about that, because God has put certain structures in place that will take care of you or anybody else that wants to gossip or slander or backstab or whatever, me or you or anybody else out there. The reason why a lot of people's lives go nowhere, the reason why some are sick, the reason why some's life is poisoned, it's not because of what others did to them. It's because of what you do to yourself. And you know, that's just sad, because all of us should love our life enough to give us every chance of being blessed and going forward. But you see, you need to look at what comes out of your mouth. And you need to look at how it comes out of your mouth. Because I want to tell you something, the devil will not miss any opportunity to get to you. Hello? Let's talk about something. Name me some of the destructive things that can come through the tongue. Help me out. What are some of the things that can, how the enemy can use a tongue to bring destruction to people's lives? All right, jealousy. Nastiness. Swearing, yes. That's a very, cursing, yes. Okay, destroying. In other words, speaking bad things, gossip, slander. Lying, very, very important one. Backstabbing. Okay, so probably now we've already got about 10 things that we can bring that the tongue can cause destruction. Let me ask you this question. How many of you sitting here today can testify that there have been times in your life where you have had serious heartache, pain, suffering, sleepless nights because of what somebody said about you or rumors that they spread, etc., etc.? Anybody here? So can you see how destructive the tongue is? Now, I think she mentioned that one. I want to talk about this one, swearing. You know, we live in an age where you can hardly watch a movie without every second word being F, etc., etc., etc. And even worse, it's become socially acceptable to use profanity to accentuate things, to enforce your opinion. And it's like these days, in certain circles, if you don't use swear words like 10 times in a sentence, you are a social outcast because you don't know how to speak. Well, I want to tell you something. God doesn't believe in that. The devil does. And I want to say something to you. What you speak will come back to you. If every second word coming out of your mouth is if, then you're going to eat a lot of poison, my friend, because it will come back to you. You can't escape what was written in the Word of God. It shall come to pass. And then we ask the question, okay, but is it a swear word? Is it really so bad? Yeah, let's check that. If Jesus was in this room today, would you still be if-ing? How many of you, raise your hand if you're bold enough to do so. How many of you are so convicted that there's nothing wrong with your vocabulary that if Jesus was to stand here, you would still just speak the way that you normally speak? Anybody? Then let me teach you something. Then you know that your conscience is speaking to you about the way that you speak. Then don't tell me there's nothing wrong with it, because you know, deep in your heart, you know that it's wrong. Now, the Bible says give the devil no place. Amen? Why not? Because he's a thief. And the thief came to steal, and he came to kill, and he came to destroy. And guess what? He wants to do that in your life. What does he want to steal from you? Okay, firstly, he wants your soul. But that comes through death and destruction. Let's just say that Satan wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your life. He wants to rob you of your relationships. He wants to rob you of your finances, because the less money people have, the more they curse God, swear at God, and have issues with the church, etc., etc. Yeah, the devil wants to steal from you. What does the devil want to destroy? Relationships. Satan hates good relationships. Hello? Because in relationships are unity. And God is always for unity. Satan is always for division. Satan loves division. Satan loves separation. Satan loves alienation. It never comes from God. It always comes from Satan. And if you give him place, the Bible says these are the things that you can expect to come into your life. A lot of problems. Now, let's get back to the tongue. Okay, but Rion, you know what? I curse now and then. How bad can it be? You're starting to give the devil place in your tongue. Do you think he wants it to stop with just cursing and swearing? You see, the same things that control cursing and swearing, the same spirits, are the spirits that bring about gossip, that bring about slander, that bring about backstabbing, that bring about lies. Once you allow Satan to start controlling your tongue, he will start controlling you in every area, because he doesn't just want the pinky, he wants the full hand. And more, these things are going to use your tongue to bring calamity and destruction upon you. And you're going to suffer. I promise you, you're going to suffer. Your life will not be blessed. You cannot be blessed if you are constantly cursing yourself. Your life is going to manifest a lot of problems. Psalm 34, verse 12. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. Okay, let's ask the question. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. What are good days? What would you say is a good day? When you are healthy. Give me some more things. Happy, joy. Yeah. Okay, that I'll put with joy. Okay, so health, joy, hope, happiness, love, excitement, peace, all of these things are the manifestation of good days. Now, look at this. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. Right. Is there anybody here that wants a lot of joy, a lot of peace, a lot of hope, a lot of love, prosperity, etc., etc.? If you're not raising your hands right now, you're probably not listening to me. Then I'll pray for the deaf spirit to go. All right. Keep your hand up. Here's what the Bible says. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, listen carefully. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from spreading lies. How do you ensure that you are blessed? By watching what you say. By watching how you say things. Because if you don't, what is the opposite of good days? Well, there you have it. If your tongue is not saved, you're going to have a lot of bad days waiting for you. You're going to cry about it. You're going to complain about it. But there's nothing God can do about that, because that's your choice. You keep speaking these things. If you like to gossip, if you like to slander, if you like to lie, if you like to speak bad about people, prepare yourself for a world of pain, because it's coming for you. There's no way you can dodge that bullet, because what you sow, you will reap. What you speak, you will eat. You're either going to eat something good or you're going to eat something poisonous. But in the spirit world, let me teach you something. Man is made up of body and soul and spirit. Just like we eat in the natural, so our spirit man has to eat in the spirit world. And our spirit man eats the words that come from our mouth. Eventually they will come back and we will eat them. If your spirit man keeps eating poison, what do you think it's going to do to your body eventually? Well, when your spirit gets poisoned, your life is poisoned. You will manifest sickness, infirmity, pain, suffering, torment, madness, insanity. All of these things eventually start taking hold. It also depends on where you come from. We all have different weaknesses in our family bloodline. The devil, if he has place, will keep touching the weak area. Do you understand? Some people will start manifesting a lot of fear. Other people are not that susceptible to fear. They will manifest anger, hatred, bitterness. Other people are not that susceptible to that. They will manifest sickness and infirmity, pain and suffering. But don't you think it's not going to come for you? Because it will. That's the way it is. That's why God warns us. Give the devil no place. Now let's look at something else. Let's look at a portion that you all hear a lot. Every time you go to a wedding, you hear this stuff. And you think that you know everything, but probably you don't. Because let's talk today about what should be the motivation for us speaking and communicating with one another and speaking about one another. Love, my friend, love. The Bible says God is love. What God brings into your life, He brings into your life with love. When God comes into your life, God comes into your life through and by love. How do we manifest Christ to others? Through love. You want somebody to know who Jesus is? Give them love and they will know who Jesus is. Curse them, swear at them, gossip them, backstab them, slander them. You show them the devil, not God, not Christ. It's love. God works through love. Now listen to this. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Now here's the thing. We are called to be the salt of this earth and we are called to be the light of this earth. In other words, we are called as children of God to manifest Christ to this dark world. I know probably you've heard me say this before, but Gandhi was once interviewed about religion, about religious matters. And he was asked about Christianity and he actually made the following statement. He said, he studied many different religions. He was interested in these things. And the one that made the most sense to him was Christianity. And then he said, and if it wasn't for the Christians that he met, he would have become a Christian himself. Now, what does that tell you? He met too many Christians who did not manifest the salt and the light of this earth. Do you know why we sometimes battle to get people to come to God? Because of us. You know what? We want to invite people to come to church, but while we work with them, instead of manifesting Christ and the love of God to them, we manifest a whole bunch of other stuff to them. And you know, people are not stupid. Why must they go to a place where they see hypocrites? It's not going to work that way. If you want people to listen to you, if you want people to follow you, you got to set an example for them and you got to give them something to follow. When we speak to people out there, when we treat people out there in the world, we should do so with the motivation that we are going to manifest the love of God to them. Because then it makes it easy for God to use us to touch their souls. But when you swear at them and you curse at them and you speak bad about them and you know you do all of these things that the Bible warns us the tongue wants to do, don't expect them to want to follow you or become a child of God or become a Christian, because they will never. It is you and I that have a mandate to go out there and be fishers of men. They say you catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. Have you heard that before? How do we treat people? How do we treat those around us? How do we treat that stranger in the street? How do we speak to them? You see, these things are important, and it's much more important than what you think. Because your future is determined by how you treat others. You treat them with respect. You treat them with kindness, and the Bible says love is kind. Then you can expect kindness to come. I'll ask this question. Is there anybody here in this place that would love for people to be kind to you? Like, you need a gap. You need to go and see the bank manager, and you want him to at least listen to you and maybe sort of try and help you. I'm just giving a stupid example. Before you can expect kindness, you first have to sow kindness. Because it's what we sow that we will get back. You can't reap something that you haven't sown. If you sow ugliness, if you sow nastiness, if you sow bitterness, what can you expect to come back? All of that, and here's the problem with sowing. When we sow something, we put one thing in the ground. By the time it's fully grown, it's turned into 1,000. You know a milli? You put a milli in the ground. Maize, to those of you that don't know what milli is. You put maize in the ground, one pip. It grows. There's up to 1,000 individual kernels of maize on one milli. Some of them have two. That can be 2,000. Okay, so let's ask this question. If I sowed ugliness or nastiness or, you know, something bad into somebody else's life, what can I expect to come back to me? Well, up to 1,000 times as much problems. Now, if you sit just for, close your eyes, just for 1 second. Okay, more than a second, but anyway, just close your eyes. Look at your life. Think of the things that I just shared with you right now. How many problems are you facing right now that maybe until today you thought was everybody else's fault? And maybe now God is talking to you about your life and he's saying to you, you know what? You're your own worst enemy because you don't control your tongue. He who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. My friend, I don't know you. I don't know your life. But I know people come and they ask for prayer all the time. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. Things don't work out for me. Doors don't want to open for me. Problems, problems, calamity, etc., etc. Let's stop the bus right here. It's easy to blame other people. But sometimes you've got to look at your own life to realize why things are not working for you. You know, it's nice to hear good sermons about the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, etc., etc. And yes, there's a place for that. But you know what? You can't experience that until you deal with the rubbish in your life. Amen? Amen. We got to get to a place where we lay certain things down. Sometimes we got to change our attitudes. Sometimes we got to change the way we do things. Young man, I hope God you listen today because God's speaking to you. But not just to you, he's speaking to you too. And he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to you. How do we treat people? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your children? How do you treat that person working with you that's a little bit sort of slow, but quite dependable? Do you yell at them? Do you go into the conference room and make fun and make jokes of them? Let me tell you something. You're not the only one laughing. The devil's laughing as well. Because he thinks, man, this one just opened a big door for me right now. Now, I know you don't think about it that way when you're sitting there joking about people, climbing into their character. But I want to tell you something. While you're climbing into that guy's character, the devil's climbing into his boots. He's going to stomp you because you've opened the door for him. Meanness, ugliness, nastiness, gossip, slander, backstabbing will always, always come back to you and you'll suffer. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, one day you're going to stand in front of a pastor, cry your eyes out and say, oh, you know what? I don't know what I ever did to deserve this. Ooh, stop the bus. Check your tongue. Probably what you've been speaking, probably the way you've been speaking is coming back to you right now. And here's the problem. If you sown it, you're going to reap it. Even me, nobody can pray it away. There's only one way to stop that process. Stop doing what you're doing that causes it to come. So, I do believe that probably 95 to 98% of the people in this room will claim to be born again, saved children of God. If I was to go to the people working with you, based on their experience with you and the way you speak, will they claim that you are born again and saved? Then I want to say something to you. You got a problem. Then you wonder why the devil's got place in your life. You've just answered your own question. Because of what comes out of your mouth. And you know what? It has to change. The first message Jesus preached, and the central theme of his preaching was, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you want to experience the kingdom of God, you first have to be willing to repent. And that also means of the way you speak, of the things that come out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. Young man, The guy is sitting there. What's your name again? John Ray. We shared your testimony last week. Am I correct? There came a place in your life where you got frustrated with God. And in some sense, you cursed God. Am I correct? And that brought an enormous amount of problems into your life. Can you remember? Sickness, infirmity, pain, suffering, all of that type of stuff. I don't know how many of you were here the night when we cast those demons out of that boy, but I tell you what, there was some serious stuff coming out of him. You bench pressed half my ministry team. Strong little oak there. Now here's the thing. All of that came because of what he said. Do you remember? All of that came because of what he said. Don't you tell me that what you speak doesn't come back to you. Because it does. It does. We have to cleanse our mouths. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and wash us clean. We have to start treating each other with respect and with love. If love is the motivation behind what you do and what you speak, you won't gossip about people. You won't hurt or slander. You won't, because the motivation is love. So maybe the big problem here is with our hearts, because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If what's coming out of your mouth is not good, it's an indication of what's lurking in your heart. And then I want to say to you that there's not enough love in your heart. Then there's still areas in your heart that God needs to touch with love. Maybe tonight is a good night to open your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and remove all of that stuff. You see, again, I want to say to you, I don't know you, but I know how these things work. Sometimes we become bitter because of what life did to us. And because of what life did to us and because we're bitter, we take it out on other people. You see, it's not their fault. Maybe the bitter root must be pulled out. And if the bitter root is pulled out and you allow God to help you there, then what comes out of your mouth, because your heart is healed and your heart no longer manifests all of that poison, now you're going to start speaking to people differently. You're going to try to start treating people with kindness, with respect. I don't know about you, but here's the thing. I understand one thing. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my responsibility to lead people to Him, not push people away from Him. You know, I've heard many times people say, I cannot be a Christian because Christians did this and this and this and this to me. And that's just sad. I'm not saying the people are right in what they're saying, because the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your salvation should not be dependent on what this one did or that one did. But that's a sermon for another day. For today, all I want to say to you is this. My life should not be a stumbling block to you coming to Christ. My life should make you want to come to Christ. And so should your life make the people around you want to come to Christ. It's not difficult. When you allow love to come into your heart, it'll change who you are and it'll change your tongue. Did God speak to anybody here tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight we're going to pray for your tongue. Because probably there's a whole bunch of tongues in this place that need to be adjusted a bit. Amen? Amen. There we go.